Each month during 2007, the KUNC Newsroom is profiling notable Coloradans who embody the unique spirit of our state. University of Colorado physicist and Nobel laureate Eric Cornell has certainly experienced life's extremes. As KUNC's Brian Larson reports, Cornell's can-do attitude and positive outlook may outweigh his triumphs in the laboratory.
With an almost euphoric glow, Eric Cornell is happy to sit down and recall the experience of winning a Nobel Prize for discovering a new form of matter, and all before the age of 40. He's not so willing to talk about his recent brush with death.
There was a time when I was not expected to survive, but after some very difficult weeks I spent in a coma, it was quite frightening for my family. I missed most of that. Eventually, I recovered from that.
But more on that later. Long before it could be proved in 1924, Albert Einstein had predicted the formation of a so-called superatom if individual atoms could be cooled to a temperature as close to minus 459 degrees Fahrenheit or absolute zero as possible. Always interested in science, setting out to create the elusive Bose-Einstein condensate, as it's known, wasn't even remotely on Cornell's mind while growing up in Palo Alto, California.
Certainly, I never thought about winning a Nobel Prize or something like that. I really thought more about energy. I thought I would be able to do physics and discover new sources of energy and solve the energy crisis. I grew up in the 70s, and that molded my thinking.
He would take a few years off from science pursuits during college, briefly toying with the idea of becoming an Asian languages or East Asian political major. Eventually returning to physics, Cornell earned a Ph.D. from the Massachusetts Institute for Technology in 1990. That's when the search for Bose-Einstein condensation lured him to the University of Colorado in Boulder.
Carl Wieman had been, in the late 1980s, had been developing new technologies for getting to very low temperatures. I thought those were really amazing new tricks. And so we came together with a goal and some methods in 1990.
And 5 years later, the work paid off. Cornell remembers an atmosphere of focused excitement in the lab on the morning of June 5, 1995. That's when about 2,000 rubidium atoms housed inside a carrot-shaped glass container were cooled to a point where an entirely new state of matter was created, albeit briefly.
This is where we first saw the Bose-Einstein condensation inside this thing, which I can only describe as a black box because it is a black box. If we look inside, we can see the laser beams we can't really see because they're in the infrared, and then there's a place where the laser beams go through a series of glass windows, and it's in there that we get to the world's lowest temperatures and make the Bose-Einstein condensation.
Cornell and Wieman's black box is still set up in a relatively small and cramped laboratory on the CU campus. Wires dangle precariously from the ceiling, and all involved agree that it hardly seems like the setting for making physics history. It was enough, though, to earn the two men and Wolfgang Ketterle the Nobel Prize for Physics in 2001. Recipients are typically woken up by an early morning phone call from the nominating committee in Stockholm, Sweden. The only problem was Cornell's number was unlisted.
One of the great disappointments of the Nobel Prize for me is that you do get a medal, but it has no hook in the back. And I had this picture of wearing it around my neck, my shirt open to the navel, you know, sort of nestled among my chest hairs. I'd probably go to like an ABBA revival party wearing it or something like that, but I wasn't able to do that.
That quick-witted and seemingly effortless sense of humor would prove crucial to Cornell and his recovery after being diagnosed with necrotizing fasciitis in October of 2004. Doctors worked quickly to stop the flesh-eating bacteria from spreading, but Cornell still lost his left arm and shoulder. After months of rehabilitation, he would quietly return to his laboratory in the spring of 2005.
You know, I'm quite obviously an amputee, but it's not how I would identify myself. I don't think of myself as the one-armed guy. I sort of think of myself as someone who had some medical problems, as so many of us do as we get into our middle age and move through them.
These days, Eric Cornell takes a greater pride in life's simple pleasures, family, spending time with his students, and playing left field with his softball team that won the league championship earlier this year after posting a 10-3 record.
It means that we're the biggest fish in the smallest possible pond. This is E-level recreation city league softball, which means that there's a lot of infield hits, that kind of stuff. But at that level of softball, we excel.
Cornell continues to experiment with atoms and is now working on a project that could shed new light into the origin of the universe. Having taken care of the easy stuff, he jokingly says he's now looking for some real challenges. For KUNC and Colorado Profiles, I'm Brian Larson.